Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
In a little while, we're going to take communion together, and we'll have that opportunity to renew our commitment to Christ. And I love this service that we have. And I love the fact that I always preach the same sermon. It makes me feel slightly biblical, you know, where John writes and says, I've got a new commandment. Well, actually, it's not really a new one. It's an old one, but I'm going to say it again. That's pretty much how I feel about this, that in fact, it's an opportunity for us just to remind ourselves, because we're shockers for novelty and for forgetting things, aren't we? And Jesus, recognizing that, when he sort of instigated probably the most universally accepted sacrament or rite or aid memoir that the church has, he said, do this to remember me. When you do this in remembrance. Why? Because we're shockers for forgetting, aren't we? That we get distracted, or we kind of think, I wonder if there's a new way I could present this, a new way of, a new spin, a new angle, this kind of thing. And it always cracks me up every year when we get to the month before Christmas or the month before Easter on the Baptist Facebook forum, people going, does anyone have any fresh ideas for Easter? It's like, yeah, just tell them what happened. You know, it's like, can you improve on a man has been raised from the dead and he's Lord of all? You know, there's no need for novelty when it comes to the fundamental things. That's why the Nicene Creed has lasted as long as it has, because truth doesn't get old. And we need to every now and then just go back to that touchstone, to Christ the cornerstone, and just remind ourselves once again what it's all about. And so I'm going to ask, have we got some slides? We should have some slides after that. Yeah, we have. Fantastic. That's good. So the first thing that we're going to do as it comes up is we're going to remind ourselves of our mission statement. Shall I see if my button works? I'll just see. Oh, it does work. Was that me or you? That was me. Oh, fantastic. It's so much better than me raising my eyebrows at Jeff meaningfully. So this is what our mission statement is. I'm sure you all know this, don't you? I hope you all know this anyway. Sutcliffe is a Baptist church family seeking to look up to God and out to the world to make effective disciples for Jesus Christ. That's who we are, a Baptist church family. And you know as well as I do that none of us, while we hold to Baptist principles and Baptist church government and all of those things, that actually that Christian is what it's all about. It's not whether you're a Baptist that gets you into heaven, it's whether you believe in Jesus. So Christian is the fundamental thing, as we're going to see. But we here, right now, are called to be a Baptist church family. We've agreed that that's how we're going to do our Christian life together. We've agreed that as far as we can understand, that's what fits with our understanding of Scripture and our understanding of obedience. And so that's what we want to do. And that doesn't make other people wrong. It just says this is how we want to do it because of where we are in our understanding of the spiritual things. So what I want us to do that we do every year, and in fact we're going to do it a lot more in depth this year, but more of that later, is remember the five core values. The five core values of the Baptist Union were done, I don't know, probably 30 or 40 years ago now. And to an extent they've been updated or reworded, but I actually like the original kind of layout and format of the five core values. Now the five core values that the Baptist Union sort of said, these are some of the ways that we see things that are important to us, and so we want to carry into the way that we do church, both inside the church walls and outside the church walls. And what we have done as a church here is we've kind of not added to, but we've kind of prefaced them with two other statements. So before we get to the five core values, we said, well, actually, the first thing that we need to say is we need to talk about the centrality of Christ, because Jesus is Lord. Jesus is central to any church, or any healthy church at least, because it's his initiative. He's the one that calls us to come and follow me. And we hear that individually, don't we? I can't do that on your behalf. You can't do that on my behalf. Your parents couldn't do that on your behalf. And you, if your parents, can't do that on your children's behalf. Each one of us have to respond personally. So he's the one that says, come and follow me. And our response is that we follow him as Lord. And that's part of what we were talking about last week when we were saying about him being Lord of all. That if he is Lord, then that means that nobody else can be. If Jesus is Lord, that means I'm not. I'm not in my own life. It's either him or me. And in the church, if Jesus is Lord of the church, it means that I'm not Lord of the church. The elders and deacons aren't lords of the church. You're not lords of the church. The church has one head, and that's Jesus. And that's really, really important. And we're going to be thinking about that over the next few weeks, thinking about what does it mean to be Christians in our peculiar way, and which hopefully is a biblical way. But a consequence of individually responding to the call of Jesus to follow him and doing that in obedience, we find that we're in good company. And here we all are. Because each of us, while we have said yes to Jesus, we found that other people have as well. And so he does this thing, as we're walking after him, we find that there are others around us. Sometimes we think they're a motley crew, sometimes they think we are. But it doesn't matter, we're all part of that travelling company. And that's really important. And so Paul Beasley Murray says this, for Baptists, the church is a community of believers gathered together out of the world who have committed themselves to Christ and to one another. Now, Paul Beasley Murray writes that in his book, Radical Believers, which is sort of setting out a Baptist stall. But actually, to be brutally honest, Andrew down the road could just change the first couple of words and say, for Anglicans, the church is a community of believers, and it would still work, wouldn't it? Because actually anyone who is part of a community of followers of Jesus can say this. But we're talking about us right here, right now, as part of Sutcliffe Baptist Church, And so that's what we'll do. So what can we learn about the community of Christ? Before we start to think what are our distinctives, what are our values, the first thing is we learn that community is God's idea. In the Genesis account, right at the very beginning, God makes Adam and he says, he looks around and he says, the birds are good, the seas are good, the fish are good, the elephants and pterodactyls are good. I don't know. You know, he looks at it all and he says, that's very good. And the one thing that he looks and says, that's not good, is when he sees man alone. He says, it's not good for man to be alone. Isn't that interesting? We are created for a relationship with God and a relationship with other people. Community is God's idea. He has created us with the need to love and be loved, to support and be supported. So we need relationships to help one another. The old Baptist used to say, so that we can walk together and watch over each other. Because we need company, we need support, otherwise we very easily lose our way. And sometimes, every now and then, we need someone just to kind of sort of say, you're wandering off a little bit, come on back. We all need that. Every single one of us. We need one another. And of course, the other thing with that is that we're not perfect. And so church, community, is this fantastic opportunity to learn things like patience and forgiveness and tolerance and kindness. And loving people that aren't naturally lovable. All of those things. And I feel that one of my particular spiritual gifts is to help you in patience. In my old church, when we used to bring people into membership, part of the promises that we would make is that we would say, at some point, we will let you down. We will disappoint you because we're not perfect. And we won't do it on purpose, though, but you will then have a choice. Are you in this for the long haul, or are you going to get in a bit of a grump and go somewhere else? But the trouble is, because God loves you, if he wants you to learn that little bit of patience, if he wants you to expand your forgiveness muscles, then he'll give you an opportunity to do that wherever you go next. Because it's about your journey, whether it's here or there. And that's a really important thing to know, that we're together, we're in this together, and there are times when it will chafe, and sometimes it will hurt, and sometimes we'll feel sad, sometimes we'll get mad, but if we're in this together, then that's how it works. And that's God's idea. And we grow, and that doesn't mean that we're always here for always, you know. In every church life, people come and go. That's just part of the society that we live in, where people come and go. That's fine. It's meant to be a dynamic and living thing. But for while we're together, let's be the kind of community that Jesus had in mind. And of course, lastly, we realise that we're better together. As parts of a body, or as Lego bricks, we're much better when we're put together and built together according to God's design. We function better when we supply and support one another. So the five core values, having said those things, that Jesus is central and that we're his people, that we're meant to be a community. These are the five core values that the Baptist Union put together that I think actually they're what we seek to be, what we aspire to be. They're not what we are, but they are our values. Have you ever found something important in your life, but you've not quite lived up to it? Let me introduce to you the five core values of the Baptist Union. Because we don't do it, but we want to. And so this is what we aim for. This is what we value. We aim to be a prophetic community, following Jesus in confronting evil, injustice, and hypocrisy. Excuse me. Challenging worldly concepts of power, wealth, status and security. Simply what we mean by prophetic is that God speaks to his people and God speaks through his people about the wrongs and hurts in this world. And that because we care, we will speak the truth. One of the cruelest things is to mislead people into thinking things are okay when they're not. Isn't that true? And so We speak prophetically. We challenge and confront respectfully and humbly, but because we care. And that matters. And so secondly, we aim to be an inclusive community, following Jesus in transcending barriers of gender, language, race, class, age and culture, identifying with those who are rejected, deprived and powerless. And I would also say voiceless as well. That we seek to make everyone who comes to our church feel welcome, wanted and needed. That everyone comes, not because their face fits, but because God loves them. Because let's face it, that's all of us. None of us are any great catch for the kingdom of God, but God loves us and he brings us in and he builds us together. And so we aim to be inclusive. And prophetic and inclusive go together because we welcome everyone as they are. But we know that God welcomes us as we are, but he doesn't want us to stay as we are. He loves us enough to help us change. And so as God's people, we do the same. And we aim to be a sacrificial community, following Jesus in accepting vulnerability and the necessity of sacrifice, seeking to reflect the generous, life-giving nature of God. This means a church made up of people who want to be like Jesus and want to share our lives, to give our lives for others. It means thinking about the work that we do and thinking about the way we live from day to day and how that will make a difference in a good way to the people around us. And that leads on very much to being a missionary community, following Jesus in demonstrating in word and action God's forgiving and healing love, calling and enabling people to experience the love of God for themselves. This means that if we follow Jesus and do what he asks, others are going to see it. And that's what we had in our call to worship, that we live such lives that people will glorify God, even though we make them feel uncomfortable. They will see that God is at the back of it, and they will perhaps want to follow Jesus too. And last of all, and yet first of all, we aim to be a worshiping community, following Jesus in engaging in worship and prayer, which inspire and undergird all we are and do, exploring and expressing what it means to live together as the people of God, obeying his word and following Christ in the whole of daily life. So it means just that we worship him. We live our lives not just for Sundays, but every day of the week. This is what it's meant to be as our way of living, our way of being church, our way of being Christians. So let's have a look again at our mission statement. Sutcliffe is a Baptist church family seeking to look up to God and out to the world to make effective disciples for Jesus Christ. Can you see how those values fit in there? That we speak, that we include, that we care, that we give, that we worship. Jesus is central and we support one another. That's the way it works. That we focus on the living, risen Jesus as Lord, that he's the one. That we focus on our task of discipleship and outreach, that what we do is intentional in reaching out, as well as, accidental as well, because God can use our mistakes as well as our plans, but that we have that ability to see what he's doing. And finally, that we look after each other. We focus on the church family and seek to bring more and more people in. So I wonder if you'd say this with me, please. Sutcliffe is a Baptist church family seeking to look up to God and out to the world to make effective disciples for Jesus Christ. So whatever we do, whether it's meeting on a Sunday and having coffee together, Sunday school, home groups, pop-in, Dickens, you name it, there's so many different things. They're all connected somehow or other to our reason for being, for being together and being in this place as representatives of God's church. With this in mind, knowing that we're a people who are saved by God's grace and called to share in God's love, we're going to move into our time of communion just after Ralph is going to lead us in one last piece. And then we're going to share bread and wine together and have that opportunity just to say yes to God again.